Live from Bradenton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Joe Block joining us here. Joe, the third broadcaster to join us for the updated Pittsburgh Pirates spring training reports. And this week's week of duty for Joe starts off with a 5-3 loss to the Tigers yesterday in spring training. Joe, just give us a quick recap of that game and another loss for the Pirates in spring training.
Well, it was Tarek Skubal, the Cy Young Award winner in the American League, going for the Tigers yesterday. And I think that one of the features was Joey Bart continues to hit the Pirates catcher with three hits in the game. The first two came off Skubal and drove in another run for Bart, who continues to have an excellent spring, hitting over 400. So in the offensive side, I thought that was notable. It was Andrew Heaney starting for the Pirates yesterday. He was a free agent pickup who had last pitched with the Texas Rangers a couple of years ago in the World Series, and he lasted into the third inning, so he's starting to try to lengthen himself out to get ready for the regular season as well. So that was the pitching matchup yesterday in Lakeland, and the Pirates are going to be home today.
Joe, I know it's still early, but with the Pirates losing a lot of these games, and again, you know, they're spring training games, they don't mean much, they don't count for anything. But is there any cause for concern at all, kind of how last year in the regular season, the Pirates starting pitching, like individual performances, you see Jared Jones, Paul Skenes, and some of these guys pitch well and do well individually, but the team loses. And that was, in some regards, kind of the tail of the tape for the Pirates on the season. Starting pitching would do well, and then the Pirates would kind of fall apart in a lot of these games. Is there any cause for concern in spring training that this is sort of how things are shaping up once again, even early as spring?
I think the way that the coaches look at it, Garrett, I think if you see certain players that they're counting on not perform well every time that they go out in spring training, well, I think that would raise an eyebrow. We haven't really seen any players like that. The Pirates are 9-7 in the spring. The record really doesn't matter all that much. You know, if you see a team win almost every single game or lose almost every single game, that might raise an eyebrow a little bit. But generally speaking, all the teams kind of fall in the middle like the Pirates have done. They've won just a few more than they've lost in the spring. I think the records become irrelevant. But I think there is some sense that if you see the same patterns forming, like you said, last year, clearly the pitching was ahead of the hitting for the Pirates. If you saw that that happening this year in the spring, over a whole month of hitting, and the Pirates weren't hitting, I think that might, again, raise an eyebrow and be a little bit concerning. But the Pirates had 15 hits yesterday, I'm sorry, 2 days ago, and then yesterday against Skubal, who's one of the toughest pitchers in baseball, I think they had four hits off him in three innings. So nothing of concern there facing one of the best pitchers. I think overall right now, not a lot to glean from the Pirates' performance as a team, wins and losses-wise, or a lot of the individuals, too.
I've asked Greg and John the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, the same question. So I'll ask you to get your perspective. Coming into 2025, what do you see as the immediate need for the Pirates, whether it's an individual position, player, overall offense, defense, what do you see coming into the season as an immediate need or a point of emphasis for the ball club coming into the season?
I think you were right on earlier talking about, you know, last season we saw some very good pitching and we saw some inconsistent hitting. And I think that's really what is going to bring the Pirates up, is if they can hit as a team more consistently. So whether it's at a certain position or not, I think overall as a team every night in that lineup, you can't have too many nights where you're scoring one or two runs. It's going to happen sometimes to every team, of course, but it happened too often, I think, last year, and you spoiled some of the better pitching performances. That will happen on occasion, but when you start to see that more often, then that was an issue last year. So the Pirates did maybe flip their record from 76-86, which it's been the last 2 years, and maybe get enough wins to make the postseason. How do you get those 10 wins? Well, maybe another run here with two outs. So we saw Joey Bart do that yesterday in a spring training game, come up with a two-out, two-strike hit, Andy Rodriguez the day before. If you get some of those hits more often, maybe you scratch out that extra run or two in a game, and that can make a huge difference over the course of a season.
Joe, your journey into broadcasting is a very interesting one. One of your first gigs, I believe your first gig doing games, you worked with Don Wardlow. Can you give the listeners who maybe aren't familiar, what made working with him so interesting, and how did it make you a better broadcaster pretty much right out of the gate?
Oh, I mean, I'm so glad that you mentioned Don's name, and good job doing your homework here on that. Don Wardlow was born without eyes, and so he had never seen anything in his life. And so this is my first chance to do games in Charleston, South Carolina, and Don had been working games for many years at that point. He would take a Braille typewriter, and he would talk to all the players on both teams before the game, calling the hotels or going down before the games and during batting practice, talking to players, and gather a lot of color information for the game. I'm trying to figure out how to describe the game to the audience. This is really some of my first work as a baseball broadcaster. So I can recall one time we're in Savannah, and I'm mentioning that I think it was Josh Hamilton hit a double, and Carl Crawford, let's say, moved up to third base. And I described that Hamilton hits a double. And he said, say, Joe, where did Crawford go? Did he score, or did he get to third? You know, and I hadn't mentioned it. And that really dawned on me at that moment that the audience is like Don. And so every time I have to bring you the game, I'm bringing you the game, I have to make sure that I'm telling you exactly what's happening, because everybody is like how Don has always been his whole life. They can't see what's happening. So Don did it so beautifully and was so good at filling in with so much extra information in the game, worked tirelessly at doing that, and it gave me a sense of not only my duty as a play-by-play broadcaster to make sure I'm filling in everything that's happening, but also his work ethic. And I learned that you got to work really hard at preparing for each game so that you have a lot of information to bring the audience to. So thanks for mentioning, Don. That was really nice.
Absolutely. You came to Pittsburgh via Milwaukee, who, when I talked to Greg Brown, one of my questions to him was, you know, what's your favorite ballpark or favorite city, non-Pittsburgh, of course, when you guys are traveling around. He mentioned Milwaukee is one of the, you know, best non-Pittsburgh cities that you guys travel to, and that's where you came from before you took over the role here in Pittsburgh. Are there any parallels, comparisons, or contrasts between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh now working in both cities?
I think the one thing is the people in Milwaukee, certainly, and most major league cities, I think is true, but certainly Milwaukee, certainly in Pittsburgh, the baseball team is doing well. The fans are really into it and really good fans. And the one difference, I think, is in Milwaukee, not to say that people aren't tailgating in Pittsburgh, but it is a huge part of the culture in Milwaukee. They have the big parking lots surrounding the stadium in Milwaukee. And really, so many people make that the focus of their evening or their day is to go tailgate beforehand. Maybe bring out a grill and cook up some bratwurst and things like that, and then come to the game on a full stomach already. So I think that's part of the tradition that's a little different. It's probably more for football culture in Pittsburgh than it is for baseball. But I think similarly, the fans are really behind their teams. And so when the Pirates are doing well, certainly the fans are there. They're always going to be there for the Pirates. As long as they're fielding a competitive team. And I think the same goes in Milwaukee. You see some big crowds there. Even if they're just having an okay year, the fans do show up there. And I think same goes in Pittsburgh for sure. And they're loud and they're knowledgeable, too, in Pittsburgh and in Milwaukee. I think that's similar, too.
Live from Bradenton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Joe Block joining us. Joe, as always, enjoy getting a chance to sit down and talk with you. And we'll get back with you on Wednesday. Have a good day.
All right, you too, Garrett. Thanks again. Great stuff.